Good morning. It's lovely for us to be quiet together in this way, isn't it? What's really amazing is that every single moment we're sitting quietly. Every single moment we're sitting quietly, even if we're running the fastest 100-meter dash that's ever been run, we're sitting quietly. So we don't have to be doing anything to sit quietly. The moment we think we have to do something to sit quietly, we can guarantee we'll spend our entire lives without ever sitting quietly. That's what it comes down to. And even though we see the results of this over and over and over again, very often there's persistence in thinking that sitting quietly will lead to something. Or, you know, I hear the children chanting Hari Om. That's all beautiful, it's really wonderful, but you know, every single word we speak is Hari Om. There isn't a word that we speak that isn't Hari Om. So why take it out of life and put it into a special category of Hari Oming? Unless we're resting naturally as the essence of being with every single word we speak, with every single thought that comes into our head, with every single emotional state we have, with every single movement of our body, then we'll never realize Hari Om. We'll never realize Hari Om. If we're Hari Oming, we have to rest naturally as the essence of being to ever realize Hari Om. And if we're saying, shit, I can't stand it. We better be resting naturally as the essence of our being, and then we'll really realize the significance of Hari Om. Or, you know, what are some other things that are excised from spiritual life? Making love, that's a good one. Or money, those are a couple things that are often excised from spiritual life. As long as we're trying to cut something out and saying it isn't spiritual, then we'll never realize the heart essence of everything that we are in a totally natural way is always here. It's always the immediacy of natural presence that is right here. Our awareness is vast as infinite space. Our awareness can never be contained by anything. If we come to India looking for awareness, we bring awareness with us, and the awareness is wherever we were before that. So we don't have to go anywhere special to realize awareness. And if we go to someone special and say, oh, I want to get awareness from you, it's our awareness we bring with us. Awareness, 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 awareness. Awareness is primary. The heart essence of awakened awareness is primary. In every single thought, emotional state, action, and sensation of the body. And this is so all of one's life. So from the very beginning of one's life until the end, awareness of natural presence is what is primary. Awareness of natural presence. Without awareness, there would be no natural presence. Do you understand what I'm saying? We'd have no sense whatsoever of being naturally present. Or even if we say something, oh, I want to be the absolute, I want to be the great totality. Well, we have to be aware of that too. We'd have to be aware of the great totality. So awareness is primary. This is our gift, our great gift in life. And it's totally natural. It's not cut off from human living. It's not something that is some kind of weird state where we have to go live in a special place and cut ourselves off from everyone else in order to be it. In fact, if we do that, we'll just generate another point of view. You know, all we ever are is the pure view of awareness. That's all we ever are. And it's naturally inclusive of all points of view. There's no point of view left out. There's no point of view that exists elsewhere other than awareness. So in that sense, all points of view, no matter what they are, as their only essence is awareness, they're all originally pure. They're all fundamentally pure. They're all primordially pure by nature. They've never been anything other than pure. No matter what their appearance is, their essence is awakened awareness. But when we're born, now everyone gets to see one of my pictures. This will be a picture of you. There we go. We're born, and all we are is we're awakened awareness. That's all we are. When we're born, we don't take ourselves to be anybody. When we're born, we don't say, wow, I'm a baby. Look at me, I'm a baby. I'm a baby now. Everyone else looks at us and says, you're a baby, you're a baby, you're a baby, you're a baby. Your name is Renato, your name is Kat, your name is Renato, your name is Kat. So all the while, it's awareness, you know, our awareness of being a baby, our awareness of being a boy, our awareness of being a girl, our awareness of being a Renato, our awareness of being a Catty, whatever it is, it's our awareness that's primary in every single one of these perceptions. But you see, when we learn that we only are a somebody, when we learn we only are a somebody, we learn to take all these points of view that we're adopting from other people. In other words, it's all secondhand knowledge. It isn't anything that we've learned about ourselves. When we learn that we are all these points of view, we spend our entire life taking ourselves to be somebody with all these points of view, and we take ourselves to be this somebody who is an accumulation of all these points of view. All these thoughts, all these feelings, all these sensations, all these memories, and we add them all up and we say, this is who I am. I'm a somebody and I can prove it because these are my memories of being somebody. So you see, on that basis, our awareness becomes focused on all those points of view that we've added up and said, hey, this is who I am. I'm a somebody. My name's Simon. I grew up in Australia. I'm 27 years old. I'm a Navy helicopter pilot. You know, my mom's here. My dad's there. I have my stepdad. You know, I have all this going on. And, you know, that's all we take ourselves to be. That all the memories of Simon ever since he was born added up into Simon at 27 years old. And then ongoingly through Simon's life till the end of his life, more and more points of view accumulated and taken to be Simon. But all the while, Simon is only this, the vast expanse of infinite space, the vast expanse of awareness that's never been contained at all by any idea of being Simon. So what to do? What to do about this? All we can do is relax. Relax. We don't want to add more points of view to Simon, like gotta meditate, gotta do yoga, gotta go to India, gotta change my job, gotta get a girlfriend, you know, gotta get more money, gotta have better sex, gotta have the right kind of food to eat. All those just add more points of view to Simon. So, you know, all these points of view after a while kind of looks like a black hole, doesn't it? It just collapses in on itself. And because most other people are living with the same belief systems and assumptions, we think this is what it means to be human. This is what it means to be human. Even if we get into some kind of seeking to get out of this, where we adopt extreme measures to get out of that, like meditating, going on long meditation retreats, watching our thoughts, watching our sensations, watching our emotional states, twisting our body into all kinds of physical postures in order to somehow get rid of this. All we do is add more to it. It becomes denser and denser and denser, the seeming reality of it. But all the while, it is nothing but a mirage. Excuse me. It's nothing but a mirage. It's nothing but a mirage. I mean, if you walk into a mirage, there might be the umbrella, say you're in the Thar Desert, the umbrella, the water well, the teak chairs, little cocktail waitresses in short skirts, you know, little cocktail boys in short skirts and muscle tees, or whatever it is. That would be San Francisco. But you know, whatever it is, no matter where you went in that mirage, there would be nothing to grab onto. So all the while that we're taking ourselves to be these points of view, they're nothing but a mirage. Our awareness, which is vast as infinite space, is like a crystal. You know how a crystal emanates all the rainbow light? And all the points of view, no matter what they are, like that rainbow light emanating from the crystal. They're no different from the crystal. They wouldn't be without the crystal. So all the points of view that we have about ourselves, thoughts, feelings, emotional states, sensations, they're just like the rainbow light of a crystal. They're the dynamic energy of awareness and nothing else. Just like the rainbow light of a crystal is the dynamic energy of the crystal. So all these points of view that we have, in order to realize this vast expanse of our own awareness, we must rest naturally without seeking anything when they come up. Rest naturally without describing anything. If we continue to seek and continue to describe, we just make this density of unreality seem more and more real. And so if you're here today, you know, I just strongly urge you to give up the search. Call off the search. Call off all the describing. Put an end to all the doing, the constant efforting to make yourself into someone through all kinds of extreme means. All of these extreme means will only lead to more and more sadness with a moment of happiness here and there. And every time there's the moment of happiness, there'll be the thought, oh, this happiness, maybe it'll last forever. But it never will, you know. All we have to do is relax. Everything we are, everything that is within this vast expanse of awareness, our awareness, it's like a mirror, and all the points of view that appear in it are just like the images in a mirror. The images appear in the mirror, but the images are never anything other than the mirror. They're never anything other than the mirror. So all these points of view that appear within us, no matter what they are, they exist as a single expanse of evenness, a single expanse of total freedom, a single expanse that has never been fettered or interrupted in any way. And we can only know that through natural rest. We can only know that through natural rest in the immediacy of perception. So when a perception comes up, rather than describing it or seeking to make something out of it, describing would be, say the point of view of anxiety comes up, and we think, oh, you know, there's that anxiety again. I think I better do something about it. It makes me feel intensely uncomfortable, so I'll smoke a joint, or I'll have a martini, or I'll have sex, or I'll get more money, or I'll get a better job, or I'll go on a Vipassana retreat, or I'll do whatever it is to get rid of this anxiety. All of this just reinforces the idea of there being something called anxiety. It's like adding all these other elements to the mirage. I've identified this anxiety, and now I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it through a story I create about it. an antidote that can somehow take away the anxiety, when all the while our awareness that is the constant in every single one of those things I just described is our great relief. It's our great relief. So when the point of view of awareness is naturally present as our reality that is vast as infinite space, and anxiety arises as its dynamic energy, something we've learned to describe as anxiety, we simply rest naturally as the vast expanse of infinite space with nothing needing to be done. Nothing needing to be done. There is no antidote to anxiety. If there were an antidote to anxiety, and we can look into this with elementary discernment, if all these things were really antidotes to anxiety, there would have been an end to anxiety a long time ago. But there never has been, because there is no antidote for something that doesn't exist. You know? So if you take one point of view and apply another point of view to it, it's an antidote, but it's still a point of view. It's trying to take something unreal and use something else that's unreal to make the first thing less real. So, you know, I don't have anything to say other than relax. Just totally relax. And there's no particular way to do that. One unerring way to do it is to just rest freely in the immediacy of every perception, but you don't even have to do that. If you just keep showing up in this room, conviction will dawn in you that you are who you are, even if you've taken yourself to be a somebody who is increasingly feeling like a black hole. Even if you've taken yourself to be that, even if you think you have the corner on the enlightenment market because, you know, you've entered into some kind of non-conceptual state or whatever it is, all of these things are just more extremes of point of view. Emptiness, non-existence, nothing exists, nothing ever happened, all these are more points of view. Impartiality, fatalism, neutrality, all of these ideas that are put out about what enlightenment is, they're all points of view. They may feel like a relief from some of the other points of view, but they're all still within the realm of point of view. Because you see, awareness has never taken itself to be anything. Awareness doesn't need to go into any kind of extreme state to prove itself to exist. Awareness is completely natural as itself. So every point of view, no matter what it is that arises in awareness, is already totally free. Totally, completely free. Totally, completely free. Anxiety, fear, sadness, grief, loss, devastation, catastrophe, personal catastrophe, national catastrophe, world catastrophe, whatever it is, awareness is always entirely free. But as long as we're saying, okay, these points of view, they're not awareness, or I have to kind of kick them out of awareness in order to be free, we'll never be free. We'll never be free. Or if we think there are a bunch of points of view we have to haul into awareness in order to be free, we'll never be free, because nothing need be done. All the points of view, no matter what they are, they're like a mirage. They're already totally free. They're already totally and completely free. And when we rest naturally, we find that our ordinary body, speech, and mind, which has been all caught up in this, which is, we could call that a personal comfort zone. A personal comfort zone of points of view. We find that all of our thinking, our speaking, and our actions that have been caught up in this, they just naturally relax. And instead of being so focused on maintaining a personal identity, we realize more and more this. Do you see what a baby looks like? You know, a baby is just totally free. totally free in every single immediate moment of time. Completely free is undifferentiated awareness. We realize this innocence about ourselves, that is always naturally present. We realize that more and more that our thinking, our speaking, and our actions are emanating from the beneficial nature of awareness. Awareness is far from impartial or neutral or fatalistic. Awareness is wholly positive. Wholly positive in that there's never been anything other than awareness. Awareness is absolutely the essence of everything, no matter what we describe it as. So no matter what the word is that we might come up with, it's never anything other than awareness. Awareness is like pure space. You know, if we take all of the infinite sky and we form letters out of it, the letters of the alphabet, and then we shape those letters into all the words in the dictionary, they're all still pure space. And if we make up a bunch of stuff about what's going on in life out of all those letters, it's all still pure space. It's never anything other than that. So when we rest naturally as the essence of our being, more and more we realize its wholly positive nature. And we realize that that which is wholly positive is beyond causality. All this is within the realm of cause and effect. All that's known is cause and effect, because that's all that's learned. This circle out here, that's just all the ideas that have been adopted that we've heard from other people. That's all. We learn that this is who we are. We adopt those ideas, and then that we think that's what we are. And we spend our whole life usually fearing that we are this. We fear our thoughts. We fear our emotional states. We fear our actions. We spend our entire lives thinking that we have to make our emotional states and our thoughts and our actions into better emotional states, better thoughts and better actions. That we have to make the sensations of our bodies into better sensations. And when we do that from the very beginning of our life, we not only fear ourselves, but we fear everyone else. When we fear our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own sensations, and our own actions, we immediately fear those of everyone else. So we spend our entire lives split off from everyone and everything, fearing ourselves, and taking everyone else to be the same bundle of fear. That, just as we fear all of our thoughts, emotions, and sensations, that everyone else's thoughts, emotions, and sensations are to be feared too. So, you know, what can we do? Well, first of all, we have to come to terms with what we really are. That has to be the first step. To stop looking, to stop searching, to stop questing, to say, this is who I am. I am awareness, vast as infinite space. Everything about me, no matter what I've learned that it all is awakened awareness. It all is awakened awareness, and it's entirely equal and even. It's a single expanse. You see, this is the true meaning of non-duality. In non-duality, there's nothing that is unequal. So all of this dynamic energy of awareness that has been taken to be all of these things, these thoughts, these feelings, these sensations that we have to do something with, we have to come to terms with the reality that those only are awakened awareness. They only are awakened awareness beyond description. And when we rest naturally as that essence of every perception, then more and more we know ourselves as this. We know ourselves as awakened awareness. You know, not to trivialize it in any way, but at the same time, it's totally natural. This is the natural reality of who we are as human beings. It's totally and completely unnatural to take ourselves to be a selfish clot of ailments, of thoughts that need to be fixed, of emotions that need to be fixed, of sensations that have to be changed into some other sensation. When we come into this complete understanding of ourselves as we are, with everything about us already being totally free, then we realize the same to be the case for everyone else. You see, we can only realize that non-dual expanse by realizing this for ourselves first. It all comes down to us keeping the focus entirely on ourselves. When we realize this about ourselves, we have a tremendous warmth of compassion that arises in us. First, it's a physical warmth that actually arises, a warmth of compassion for what we've put ourselves through. That, you know, we've taken ourselves to be all of these things, that we've adopted all of these ideas from other people, spiritual and non-spiritual alike, about what we are, and we've taken ourselves to be that. When we realize that that isn't so, we just feel such relief. And it's not a self-centered relief, it's a relief of incredible compassion for ourselves. And with that compassion for ourselves, instantaneously there's compassion for everyone else. Because we see that this is so, you know, we see that this fearful reality that we've taken ourselves to be, that everyone else virtually has taken themselves to be the same thing. And when we feel that heart-melting reality of our own awareness and that own compassion for ourselves, immediately we feel it for everyone else. Because this compassion is inherent in awareness. This compassion is inherent in awareness. It can't be developed or cultivated as a point of view. It's impossible. You know, we can't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm going to be compassionate today. We've all tried to do that, and you know, it doesn't work. It's just another point of view unless it's realized as the heart essence of awareness. We can only realize that by keeping the focus on ourselves, on our own awareness, realizing the vastness of our own awareness, just allowing our awareness to mingle, to blend with the vast expanse of infinite space. To realize ourselves as that heart essence of every point of view. To realize that we've never been constrained, we've never been constricted, we've never been restricted. We've never taken ourselves to be any point of view. We never have. We never have. It takes great effort to try to hold something in place that isn't real. When we spend our whole life doing that, we become exhausted. We become exhausted. Even if we put ourselves in the most rarefied atmosphere, we become exhausted. We even become exhausted in the rarefied atmosphere. We already are the rarefied atmosphere of awareness. We don't need to contrive anything to be who we are. We don't need to effort or achieve anything. Who we are is entirely beyond causality, entirely beyond effort and achievement, beyond anything that needs to be done. All we need to do is relax and realize who we already are. Just relax and realize who we already are. Allow that perfect love that is always at the essence of every perception to be the case. Not love in some kind of contrived way, but just the love that always is. The love that always is. We could call it love awareness, maybe. Love awareness. This awareness that is the very reality of our being, that's never needed to be cooked up. We've never needed to do anything to be who we are. Throughout our entire life and before and after, timelessly, we've always been who we are. If, you know, these fearful things like birth and death and the life in between are completely unfettered by awareness, what is there? You know, what is there to hang on to? There's nothing to hang on to. The more we relax as awareness, the more we realize that these points of view of birth and death and the life in between that are bookended by birth and death, they're all timelessly free. They're all points of view just like any other point of view. There's never been any point of view to hang on to. If we try to hang on to any point of view, it's like spending our entire life in a cyclone or a tornado or a monsoon, just constantly being torn apart, moment after moment, torn apart by something that doesn't exist. It's just like, you know, if we see a mirage of a hurricane that's blowing 200 miles an hour, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. But if we persist in believing that it's there, then we spend our whole lives just really in terror, bewilderment, and despair. There's this great emphasis today on terrorism and all of these things, you know, all these appearances of awareness, but all we have to do is look in the mirror. We have to start there, you know. When we look in the mirror we see that we've been terrorizing ourselves with our own points of view, taking ourselves to be something that we never were, then we can just let go, you know, let go and just give ourselves a break. There's nothing that we need to do. There's absolutely nothing we need to do. We've never held on to anything. We've never taken ourselves to be anything. It's just the secondhand knowledge that has said, you are who you are, and we say, okay, I guess I am that. But there's no reason to persist in that. There's no reason to persist in that whatsoever. Just release it all right now into infinite space. Right now. Right now, it already is perfectly free. There's nothing to hold on to now or any other time. Don't even try to hold on to now. That's just another point of view. Trying to hold on to the moment, that's just another point of view. All points of view are equal. They're all timelessly free. There's no point of view called now or perfect moment or anything else. There's always awareness only as whatever its dynamic energy is. This. All awareness. Whether it seems to be inward or outward. This. All awareness. All awareness and nothing else. If you feel there is an outward and an inward of this, that inward and outward will completely dissolve the more you just rest. The more you allow the reality that is right here, this great reality that is right here in this room, this great reality that is right here where there's no thought about the past or the future or even right now. There's just a single blissful expanse of complete comfort and relief and ease. That what you experience here, it is your own awareness. That's all you experience here, your own awareness. That's it. And that awareness is you wherever you are. It's not circumstance dependent. It's not dependent on being here. You are that. We are that everywhere. Everyone, everything, no one left out. Everything already is that. Nothing has ever not been that. No matter what its description, nothing has ever not been that. Allow that. Just simply allow that. Simply allow that. Don't put up any longer with taking yourself to be something you're not. No one can give you this and no one can take it away from you, and you don't need anyone to confirm it either. All these things, transmission, empowerment, this, that, and the other thing, it's already the case. They're all just more points of view. If we believe there's such a thing as transmission or empowerment into some kind of grand state, then more points of view, more of the black hole. We already are who we are. We don't need anyone to give that to us. Awakened awareness is as it is. There's never been any fragmentation, split, or division of any kind. There's never been anyone to do something to someone else. We already are who we are. And when we keep the focus entirely on ourselves as self-knowing awareness, we realize that more and more. Sometimes we realize it like this, but for most people, it's more gradual.
It just is whatever it is. Never compare yourself to anyone else. Especially don't compare yourself to gurus. You know, anything that is in your pure view of awareness, it is you. So if you perceive a guru who's wonderfully free, that is you. That is you. That is your awakened awareness. That's all that is. Anything that you experience with anyone, it is you, whether it's sublime or mundane. It is awakened awareness only. Just rest as that awareness and you'll know everything that is to be known. Everything that is to be known about everything in particular, the whole realm of cause and effect, because you are beyond cause and effect, and that which is beyond cause and effect understands all. It understands all cause and effect. From cause and effect, beyond cause and effect can never be known. Just like from a valley, we don't know what it looks like from the top of a mountain. But from the top of the mountain, all is seen. All is seen. So from the top of the mountain, from the pinnacle awareness that is beyond causality, everything is understood. Everything is understood. All kinds of solutions to problems, personal, family, community, and worldwide appear. Solutions that have never been apparent because they're beyond causality. So, you know, the message of the great freedom is that all human beings, all beings altogether, everything that ever was is already timelessly free. And we must support each other in realizing that this is so about ourselves. As a global human community, we must support each other in knowing that this is so about ourselves. We have to give up the search for a savior or a heroine who will fix us. We are the savior and heroine, all of us together. And we must realize this about ourselves and not hesitate to speak about it and share it with everyone we meet. Not put the clamp or censor on our speech of awakened awareness. Don't hold anything back. Be timelessly free as you already are, and just allow everything about your thinking, your speaking, and your actions to be this emanation of awakened awareness and nothing else. If anyone would like to, they can ask a question, or if someone would like to share, they can come up here and share. Would you like to share, Shanti? I'd love to hear from you. Namaste.
I just did the 12 inquiries, and I remember when I came the first time and I thought, oh, what is this? Another teaching. Because I have been with Osho and I have been with Babaji, and I have not come to realization. And I thought, well, it cannot be so fast. What people say, you can feel it or you can't be it. So I was I had this point of view, no, it cannot be. It has to be a long way. And so doing this course, I realized this is my point of view that hindered me totally to realize whatever that is. Now I know it is nothing. And the whole thing is a total joke. It is such a relief that I have not to search anymore, that I can go free, whatever is or is not, or whatever I need, or what comes in my life. And still, I like this gathering of where the awareness is, or where I always called it God, and I still like to call it God because it gives me such a good feeling. So I like these gatherings, but something is, there's always this expectation, there is something. That's always in the way, and there, it is nothing. and this is so beautiful, because her teaching is really summing up an insight in you that's building up. It was building up also my resistance. This is a part of it. And I saw in my course that it can go overwhelming, the resistance, and then backing out. And I was curious enough. I thought there must be something, because you sense it inside, there is something. Now you come in contact with this something, and then it kept me going. And it is just a teaching that is actually the total truth, with no wavering and no beating around the bush. There's no psychology. When it comes up, the teachers are really good. They bring you always back to see it's a point of view, to the real thing. And this is what brings you, what comes into the essence. And I'm so happy. This is, I was thinking, how can I share that, because we could come up. And I see my friends who are sitting there with Maharaji, and I love them totally. I love Maharaji, I love them all. But this sharing is another thing, because I see there is a cloud of these points of view. And I'm hesitating to go through this cloud somehow. I don't know. Maybe it comes natural. I don't know. So I thank you so much.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. There's nothing in the way. Yes. Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste.
My name is Jan Damara. I'm from Australia. As I begin to talk, words are very entrapping. They have relative meaning, but as we're aware, they have no meaning at all. Everything is just exactly as it is, in its perfection. Even word perfection is not anything to clothe the unclothable. So, as I talk, a lot of my words are fingers pointing to the moon, but the moon is absolute without any clothing. So for a long time I've understood, not understood with my mind, understood without understanding, this very truth that nothing, there is no search, there is no path, there is no belief, there is no salvation, there is no enlightenment, and there is no nothing, there is no emptiness, that it's beyond clothing. I didn't choose to come to India. I've been here for about a week now. I was teaching some friends yoga classes, Marco and Vanessa, that have come here. Mm-hmm. And I was deep in an asana, yoga pose, and something within guided me to come here. And I was quite resistant, because for a long time, there is no one. There is no guru or something that's going to bring enlightenment. And I'm thinking, why? What is in India that is not right here already, not even here, just is? So I have come here, and this is very beautiful to be sitting in this room. Obviously it's all divine, beyond the word divine or the concept or whatever. I've experienced some people while being over here that have given certain perspectives or certain beliefs or certain pranayama and things like that, but I find it comical, not to impoverish them or take away, but comical for myself to do these things, because there is something inside that doesn't see any, I don't know, it just is. So, I remember a while ago I used to believe in this, and always there would be an opposing thought and always some kind of resistance happening, a shadow side. If I did something that wasn't the light side, meditation and asanas and practice and yoga, it seemed that the shadow side seemed to always be drawn into the pendulum. So something happened inside where I just let go. And as you're saying, just relaxing, it's become very breathing again, you know, being able to breathe without thinking. And so I have nothing really to say, because there is nothing to say, but I feel to say that it is beautiful to be here to hear such things, and it is all whatever it is. So thank you.
Thank you.
Aware, pierced face. No destination. What is unborn never dwelled anywhere, nor does it have a destination. Not ever. Not ever. There's this brilliant reality, that outshines everything, that outshines every single impulse or feeling whatsoever to hold on to anything. And that's all the reality is of everyone right here. Please do not hang on for a moment longer. Do not hang on for a moment longer, even to the most sublime thought. There's no thought, no emotional state, no actions whatsoever that need to be held on to, no sensations that need to be held on to, just the brilliant, pristine reality that is the immediacy, the immediacy of natural presence, whatever it is. Whatever it is, whether it's, you know, working in a coal mine or finding diamonds, it's all the same brilliant reality. The same brilliant reality that's completely unrestrained, that has nothing to do with a personal life or self-centeredness or personal comfort zones or needing to find anything or seeking or questing or needing to be a good person or needing to dress up in a certain way or wear the hair a certain way or wear a certain pair of shoes or or be in any way at all, young or old or beautiful or ugly or any other thing. You know, the brilliant reality has never known any of this. And the brilliant reality is all that anyone ever is. It's all that anyone ever is. And its expression is natural. Its expression is so natural that in the moment it's spoken, nothing's left out, including the sublime speaking of awakened awareness. When that sublime speaking of awakened awareness is spoken, oh, everything lights up, you know. Everything lights up. It's realized that there's never been anything else. It's realized that this is our only reality. There's never been anything else whatsoever. So in the speaking of it, we must allow the speaking of it. We must allow it to come into words that are so natural, that are so blissful, that are so sublime that everyone realizes who they are. Oh. You know, someone said to me a couple of days ago, you always seem to be chuckling, no matter what's going on. Chuckling, do you know what that is? This laughter that is the heart essence of every single moment, you know. That's the only reality. This is what we really need to be sharing with each other, not cultivating any more of this nonsense that we are somebody other than awareness. We've had enough of that. You know, soon we realize that even this nonsense, it's all awareness. Even non-recognition of awareness is awareness. Even the fear that we'll never be enlightened, that's awareness. The doubt that that awakening could possibly happen for us, that's awareness too. All the clinging to selfish fears, that's awareness too. Everything is the brilliant reality that connects us all together in just a totally heartfelt way. You can totally relax here and be who you are. You'll never hear anything different here. That's your reality everywhere. Know that about yourself definitively. There's no need to exclude anything. Everything, no matter what it is instantaneously subsumed in awakened awareness, the heart essence of awareness. So there's nothing that needs to be left out. Just know whatever is you are. And it's all perfection. Perfection in one, perfection in two, perfection in the totality. You know this through your direct experience. Just your direct experience of what is so sublimely real right here. It's the great reality everywhere, no matter where we are. It's not just here in this room. This is just a way for us to come together and realize what's really true about ourselves. Then we know wherever we are, that's what we are. We've never been anything other than that. And we have to count on that above all else. Utter relaxation, complete ease and comfort as the natural presence of the brilliant reality. Always outshining the need to make anything out of anything. We'll sit quietly for a moment before we end.